When KDRY first opened up, I preached on there Monday through Friday. And Gene Palmer was the announcer. And so that was a song by the Blackwood Brothers, the old, not the young Blackwood Brothers you have today, but the older fathers of them. And on Word Records, and they would play that and dedicate it to me because I liked it so much. I get shouting when they start. You know, I've been redeemed by love divine. Well, amen.
Amen.
Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you very much. You're going to have to do that about once a month. That and the other one where the blood is shall never lose its power. You know. And I guess when they ring the bells up yonder, you know. Well, you can give you a few more. Did very well. I appreciate it. Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let me read it one more time. Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we've been redeemed by our love divine. We thank you for the great mercy you showed toward us in our lives, that you brought us to hear the gospel, that we could be saved. I pray, dear Lord, that you would touch every heart in life that's in here today and that your word would bring a blessing. I pray, Lord, you'd bring changed lives. If there's a lost soul in the sound of my voice, I pray they'd hear the gospel and be saved. And I pray for every child of God that we'd walk before you in truth. Give me a freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have you ever wondered why it says, ye fathers, provoke not? Now, some people may think the only difference between boys and girls is the way they've been trained up. I had 5 kids of my own, and boys are just different than girls. They're different in attitude. They're different in the way they walk and talk and think. You know, I see these little girls, and they walk in holding hands and smiling and just swinging their arms, and they walk so sweet. And 2 little boys come in and be hitting each other. Boom, boom, tripping, kicking, boom. Why? They're different. And you may not think they're different until you have a few of them. And you'll figure it out. And you know, men are that way. I don't know many women that would just provoke their kid. Do you? I don't know many mothers that just... But daddies? I love kids when they get to where they can walk. So I can trip them. And watch them roll in their diapers. And pull things out of their way. When they reach for it, just pull a little bit out of their way. They reach for it, pull a little out of their way. That's the truth, isn't it? I guess Paul knew a little bit what he was talking about. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want to talk about fathers for a minute. They're good fathers, they're bad fathers, and they're just indifferent fathers. What kind of father are you? If you're a father, what kind of father are you? You a good father? You a bad father? Every once in a while we're reading the paper about a father putting out cigarettes on his little baby. Or throwing it against the wall because it won't stop crying. That's a bad father. That's a bad father. We read about fathers that just love their children. And they talk to them and they reason with them and they help them and they rebuke them and they discipline them and they try to make them men and women and try to bring them up right, good fathers. And then there are a lot of fathers that they just have kids because of nature and they're just sort of a hindrance. They're not really mean to them, but they don't really care that much for them. And they don't do much. And I don't know what kind of father you had. I happen to have a good father. Maybe when God talks about, or the Bible talks about God being our Heavenly Father, that might not bring good thoughts to your mind, because your father wasn't a very good fellow. He was a drug addict, or he was mean, or he beat your mother, or he run off and left you, or I don't know. But I have the privilege of having a real good, solid man as my father. Amen. Now, you can't judge what teenagers say. And I'm sorry, teenagers. I really don't want to badmouth you all the time. But it's true. You leave the human race when you get to about 13. And you don't make it back till you get about 25. Some of you don't even make it then. When I was about 17, I didn't appreciate my daddy. When I was 25, I really did appreciate my daddy. So you can't necessarily judge fathers on what your 17-year-old tells you. You hate me. You don't love me. You want to let me have my way. You know, all the fights you're going to have with that stupid teenager. Excuse me. I apologize. But I meant it. Good fathers and bad fathers and indifferent fathers, what kind of father are you? What kind of father are you? When your kids are 25 and 30 years old, what are they going to say about you? Are they going to come back to you and say, Dad, thank you for standing up in my face. Thank you for not giving me everything I wanted. Thank you for rebuking me. Thank you for helping me out. Thank you for talking to me over and over again. Thank you for forgiving me. Are they going to do that? I hope so. There's men in this room right here that can testify of their father wasn't a good man. Abused him. Beat him when he shouldn't. You know the problem with some fathers? They're so selfish. They're so self-centered. All they think about is what they want. How they can spend their money, their time, their pleasure, they want. Are there some that have so little self-control that one day what you do is all right and the next day they beat you half to death for doing the same thing? No consistency, no self-control. How in the world kid know how to grow up in a family like that? Well, some of y'all are growing up in them and some of you grew up in them. Exactly, that kind of thing. And you know what the tragedy is? We affect people's lives. You know what? Even if you're a bad father, you can turn into a good one. That's what conversion is all about. That's what repentance is all about. That's what salvation is all about. If your life's been messed up in the past, it doesn't have to stay messed up. I mean, it can change today. And I admit, some kids I've met, some kids I've dealt with, I really felt sorry for them. I didn't think they began life with three strikes against them. But let me tell you what, if you had a really wicked father, or no father at all, that's no excuse for you once you get grown. Amen. People tell me, well, you know, it's all because of the way I was raised. It's all because that's the way my daddy treated me. This is the way, you know. Man, haven't you grown up enough to know that now then you're making your own decisions? You're not at home. You're not some little kid they can beat around all over. You're now bigger than your dad. Right. You're grown up. You can change some things. You can make up your mind. I'm not going to be that way anymore. And if the heritage of your family was lost and wicked, change the heritage. You become the first father or mother or person that starts living for God and sets a heritage for your children that makes them praise God. Amen. You know, I just thought this verse was very interesting. It says, provoke not. And provoking is in me. It is.
I know.
Provoking's in me. Yeah, we know that. You know that? Y'all understand that? Y'all know me that well enough?
Amen.
Cole come in one day. Now, Cole's got so much energy. I just love Cole. But he comes in, and I start teasing him. I say, you see that? That's 6 months in bed. See this? Sudden death. And I start punching him a little bit, you know. And then he comes to me. He's going to get a spanking for this. I am going to provoke this kid. He's going to go take his little brother and punch him out. And daddy's going to get the stick and beat the daylights out of him. And I provoked him for it, see? That's why this verse is in here. That's what's in here. Matthew, he's sort of got more energy than he knows what to do with. You know the boy? And I'll shake his hand and I'll start shaking it a bunch of times and say, son, what's wrong with your arm? Do you have a bone in that arm, son? I get him all hyper. Now he's going to run circles and do wheelies inside of the thing. And his daddy's going to say, son! You know what we can do? For our fun, we can provoke people to anger and wrath. You know some people that provoke, they don't stop provoking until the person is really angry or crying. That's their joy. That's their pleasure. I got to you, I made you cry. Billy with Linda. I mean, Billy was going to tease Linda until she cried. And when she cried, then daddy or mama are going to come in, beat the daylights out of Billy. Linda learned to cry early. Provoke not your children to wrath. You need to be real careful what you do and how you treat people. Amen. Your fun is not everything. It's not the only consideration in life, what makes you happy. And God's telling you as a father, and sometimes we as fathers, we're not very consistent. And one of the problems is, we got a bunch of kids having kids.
Right.
You know, you got to grow up with your kids, and your kids got to grow up with you. But boy, those first ones sometimes have a hard job. Because we're very inexperienced with other little people. And so God is telling you and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Don't cause them to go to the point of anger. Don't you take these things far enough. And it says over in another verse in Colossians that they be discouraged. Now, I've said it many times. I know an awful lot of fathers are so lazy, so self-centered, they are not consistent in discipline. You know, discipline costs you. It costs the daddy. The father who's going to discipline the family, or the mother is going to discipline the family, and you got this kid that's not, I mean, he's rebellious or he's stubborn and he's going to have his way, and you're trying to break that wheel, you're going to get so tired, say, I think I'll just ignore this one. That's a big mistake. You fathers, you don't ignore what goes on wrong. And you don't let it go four or five times, then beat the kid half to death because you finally lose your temper. There needs to be consistent discipline. And it needs to be reasoned discipline. You need to sometimes sit down with your child and say, look, this is what you're doing. This is what I've got to do. And I'm going to do it. And I'm going to win. First of all, because I'm bigger than you. Brute force? Absolutely. That's why God made you that way. But by the same token, there needs to be that consistency running through your discipline. Your kids need to know, well, one thing I can get away with mama, another thing I can get away with dad. Boy, don't do that in front of dad, but oh, go to mama. Or if mama tells you no, well, run to dad. He's easier. There ought to be some consistency in your family. You husbands and wives need to get together long enough to talk things over and decide what you'll accept and what you won't accept. And not let it be just an anger management thing. It ought to be a consistent rule where they know you can't get away with this. Mama or daddy, either one, going to get you for that. You better be agreed. Mom and daddy in your discipline.
That's right.
And if you're not, you got problems raising kids. I guarantee you. And the kids, they're the greatest psychologists in the world. You think the guy's got a PhD, he's the greatest psychologist? Give me a break. That little girl about that high, she's probably got it all down pat. And she can take that big old 260-pound you and just wrap you around her little finger. Get her way anytime she wants. Provoke not your children to wrath. So the first part of this is telling you this is what you don't want to do. You don't want them to get so angry. You don't want them to get so discouraged that I don't stand a chance in life. I can't reason with my parents. I can't talk with my parents. I can't answer my parents. I can't get my point across to my parents. God help us to have reasonable sense in dealing with our children, and especially you fathers. Reason why I think I'm ahead of this house. I had a saying, Daddy may not always be right, but Daddy's always Daddy. And that settled all questions. But you know, you need to be able to listen. You need to be able to think. You need to be able to reason. You need to be able to talk to people's heads to try to get something in there. One of the bit advice my father gave me in raising my children is, son, just keep talking to them. Just keep talking to them. Amen. Just keep talking to them. One of these days it'll soak in. Amen. Now, that's the negative side of that. Provoke not your children to wrath. There's a positive side to it, but bring them up. You got a job, Daddy. It's to bring up your children. You don't just give them food and throw it on the floor to them and let them scrabble for it. You bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's talking about training, and it's talking about correction. You and I have a job, and our kids are our products. You're going to look at your kids one day. Now, I know every one of you parents, when you see your kid in high school, they're going to be great. And when you see him out there playing t-ball, you think, oh, that's the greatest athlete. I mean, he's going to be a pro. He's going to be a star. You ever seen these parents at these games? I love it. I really do love it. The parents are more excited than the kids. Down there in Del Rio, I remember a soccer mom. Beautiful long hair hanging way down here, running up and down the sidelines, yelling for her boy. Oh, yes, and jumping up. Now, she was the best cheerleader I think I ever saw. Her boy was out there kicking that ball, and I mean, boy, she was with him. I know you think your kids are all going to be perfect and everything's going to turn out all right no matter what you do. It isn't so. It isn't so. They need to be brought up. Maybe you didn't have the father, and you didn't have the home life, and you didn't have the background. Well, bless your heart, you need to provide it for yours. Amen. You need to bring them up. They need to be raised. They need to be trained. They need to be disciplined. They need to be corrected. And that is not just an explosion of anger when you finally lose your temper. The Bible says in another statement, it's sort of a general statement. I like to quote it to myself over and over again because I have a tendency to get angry. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Doesn't do it. I don't care how angry and righteous anger you may think you have because you've been disobeyed or because somebody didn't listen or somebody didn't get something done. The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. And especially when you're talking about raising children up, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, then it needs to be controlled and thought out. It needs to be measured. When they're a little bitty thing, yes, they need to be spanked. They really do. Some of you don't spank them enough. But they don't need to be beat. They don't need to be slapped, knocked up the side of their head. God gives us a lot of fat right here. That's what it was made for. The paddle. And by the way, they don't need to be beaten 39 lashes. About 3 licks is all you need. Let me tell you something else. When they get about 12, 13, or 14, they don't even need licks anymore. I was so mad at Billy one time. I was so mad at Billy. I could have beat him an inch of his life. I was furious. And I whipped him way too hard. And then I swore off. I said, I'll never lift my hand against him again. I went too far. In my anger, I went too far. Then I had him copying Proverbs. You know what? You can make a lot of copies of Proverbs in a lifetime. You know, that's a very good book. Amen. Teenagers could learn an awful lot copying the book of Proverbs. Amen. Start off with a chapter or two. Just a chapter or two. Copy it word for word. Turn it into you, just like homework. Oh, they get bored. Oh, they get tired. Oh, they want to run. Oh, they want to be outside. It says, bring them up. Not just let them run free. Kids don't have, they've got the brain power. They don't have the reasoning power. Oh yeah, their brain's there. I mean, it is alive. It is working. They got it going every day. Their hormones are running through them and their juices are flowing, but they don't know what to do with it. And they get themselves in trouble all the time, over and over and over again. They get themselves in trouble. They need to be brought up. And you treat one this small different than you treat one this small. He said, bring them up in the nurture. Well, you know what nurture is. It's milk, it's food, it's caring, it's love, it's training. Bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. I don't really believe you can be the best daddy unless you're saved.
That's right.
Now, there are a lot of saved daddies that aren't very good daddies. Let me qualify that. I know some saved daddies that are very poor daddies. And I've known some lost daddies that were very good daddies. But even a lost daddy that's a very good daddy is missing the mark if he doesn't bring you up in the nurture of the Lord. So you become a successful man. So you come to the place of self-control. So you come to the place of maturity. And you don't know the Lord and you end up going to hell. What a waste. Bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. You know what that takes? That takes some coming on your own. You have to do something. You know, not only did my daddy give me good advice, not only did my daddy care for me and love me, and I knew he loved me, but my daddy lived an example before me in a lot of ways. He was a good example of everything he taught. A good example. You know what kids need today? They need to see somebody worth following. Not some stupid 22-year-old football player or 17-year-old rock band artist and somebody knows how to cuss in 14 languages, but somebody that has maturity and love and a respect for God and knows how to live his life, order his life, bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. That ought to be the heritage of your children. They've got a daddy that says, this house is going to serve the Lord, like Joshua said. I don't know what you guys are going to do. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Then it says, admonition. That's rebuking. That's correction. You might want to be a real positive daddy. Don't ever want to say anything bad. Don't ever want to criticize. Don't ever want to stop. That's a big mistake. Your kids don't need a real good friend. They need a daddy.
That's right.
Your kids need someone to say, boys, that's not the way I want it done. Girls, you're not going to dress like that. You're not going to act like that. You're not going to talk like that in my house. That does not bring honor to the Lord, does not bring honor to your parents, that does not bring honor to your church, that does not bring honor to your community. I'm not going to put up with it. They need limits.
Amen.
They need to know there's things that are right, there's things that are wrong, there's things that are not to be done.
Amen.
And I know what you daddies do. It's her job. Yeah, yeah. I pass the responsibility on. You turkey. Yes, I hope you got a wife that can show discipline. But God says it's your job. Throughout this Bible, you know who's going to answer when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ? It's not going to be anybody but you. You're the daddy. You're the head of the house. You're the one responsible. And you know what God said? You bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We say, my wife won't let me. Well, then get control of your house.
Amen.
You got a responsibility not to provoke them, not to just play with them, not to just beat them around, but to bring them up in an orderly manner to where they bring honor to Jesus Christ and honor to your household. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Look with me, if you will, back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy 4:9. Deuteronomy 4:9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. Have you seen some good things? I tell you what, God has done some good things for me. I've seen some good things. I found out some good things in this book. I've seen some good things in my life. And I tell you what, he said, don't forget them. And then notice what he says, the very last part of that sentence, and teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. What God has done for you, the blessings God's brought in your life, the changes God has brought to your life, you need to be teaching them to your sons. That's your responsibility, Daddy. Your wife may be more spiritual than you. She may be smarter than you. You still got a responsibility. Bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and teach your children the things of God. Look also in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. I heard Brian read this verse this morning in Sunday school. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures given by God. Daddy, it's your responsibility to teach the Bible to your family. It's your responsibility to see the Bible's taught in your family. It's your responsibility your children get a good Bible knowledge. You realize how many kids out there today don't have a clue? They don't even know the Bible story. They don't know David and Bathsheba. They don't know Daniel in the lion's den. They don't know Moses. They don't know anything. They don't have a base. They don't have a foundation to build anything on. They don't know there's an absolute right and an absolute wrong. Everything's relative. Everything's relative to what you can get away with. Bible says, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And they're able to make you wise unto salvation. All the Scriptures worth learning. All of it's inspired. All it'll be a blessing to you and be a blessing to your children. An interesting thing, and I've used it many times in dealing with discipline. Talking about Abraham in Genesis chapter 18 verse 19. What kind of father are you? What kind of father will you be? How will you be remembered? Well, this is what God said about one father. Genesis 18, verse 19, and I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord.
Amen.
I know him. What kind of man is he? He's a man that's going to command and train and set his children in the way of the Lord. And they're going to keep the commandments of God. And they're going to go on down the line. And they're going to keep following it. Daddy, what a heritage. Daddy, what a responsibility. Daddy, your children are your responsibility and their future is your responsibility, and you're not through with your job when you bring your paycheck home. Maybe you don't need to have three or four or five jobs just to bring the money into the house. Maybe you need to spend a little time with your kids. Maybe you need to spend some time with your wife. Maybe you need to be an example of what a man ought to be. The way you treat your wife, the way you treat your Lord, the way you obey the Word of God, the way there's mercy in your life. Yeah, you ought to be an example. You say, well, my dad's not a very good example. Well, then you change the history of your family.
Amen.
You change it. You start it now. I didn't say it's easy. It's something that needs to be done. And your fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Look, if you will, at Luke chapter 15. Verse 11, through the end of the chapter, said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he'd spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. The Father here is God. It's a beautiful story. I love this story. Story of the prodigal son. I was a prodigal son.
Amen.
And I came back. And when I came back, my physical father had his arms out for me. And my heavenly father had his arms out for me.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Do you notice the kind of father we have here? Oh, he's a strong father. Yes, he is. But he's a loving father.
Amen.
He's a forgiving father. He's a reasonable father. That boy is off there living in the pig pen, wasted everything he's got. He knew he was going to make a killing. He knew he was going to live high, wide, and handsome. I don't know how many people I've heard say that. Just a few years, you find out you're not going to do that. You're never going to be a millionaire. You're not going to spend $1 million in your whole life. You're never going to spend $1 million. In fact, you're going to be broke paying bills day after day, week after week, year after year, and you're going to die broke. That's your future. Sorry, but it's true. He went out, he spent his money, he lived high, wide, and handsome, he did what he wanted to do, and all of a sudden he's broke. And all those friends he had, they weren't friends anymore. They didn't want to see him. You ain't got any money. You got nothing to give us. Well, we don't want to be around you. You're not any fun anymore. And he's out there, a Jew boy, feeding pigs. Can you imagine what he felt? I don't know what it is in your life that you think is the lowest I could possibly come. But that's where he was. The lowest he could possibly come. And he said, you know, I got a good daddy. His servants do better than I'm doing. He came to himself. You know what I wanted every one of my kids to, sometime in life, come to themselves. When they're wild and when they're running, thinking that they know more than anybody around them, and they're so smart, I'm just praying, oh God, wake them up and let them come to themselves. Let them wake up and see life as reality. Let them wake up and see where they're going, and if they keep going the same way they're going. And they did. He did. And he come walking back. You know what that father was doing? He was looking. Oh, yeah. Every day that daddy would get up, walk out to do his business, but he'd take a look down that road. I guarantee you. He'd get up and walk, look down that old road. Wonder where my boy is today. I wonder if he's alive. I wonder if he's healthy. I wonder if he's doing well. Where's my boy today? And one day. You know, they even tell us now that in these airport security things, they can tell each person by their walk. That's something. Not just your fingerprint, not just voice print. They can tell you individually by your walk. A computer can do it. Well, that daddy knew that walk. And the Bible said he ran and had compassion on him, fell on his neck and kissed him. He didn't stand up and say, okay, what you got to say for yourself, boy? No. No, here's love. Here's a daddy with love. And he said, son, good to see you. And I know that boy smelled like a hog pen. He looked worse than that. But he kissed him. And with his clean clothes, he hugged him. And he got dirty. And he told his servants, he said, get me the best robe in the house. Give me a ring. This is my son. Years ago, I came to myself. Out in the pig pen of this stupid world, wasting my life and headed for hell. And I remembered the stories I'd heard about the Heavenly Father. And I ran to Him. I ran to Him. And I said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and thy sight. I'm not worthy to be called your son. He said, welcome, son. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that beautiful? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God in His forgiveness and God in His love for a hell-bound sinner said, come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I came to the Father and I found Him loving and I found Him forgiving. And He took my old dirty rags, my sinful rags, and He burned them all. He washed me clean in the blood of the Lamb. And He dressed me in the robe of His Son. Put a ring on my finger, shoes on my feet, and killed the fatted calf. And I've been on a 46-year party ever since. I don't know what kind of father you are now. I don't know what kind of father you're going to be. But the Bible tells you what you ought to be. And I tell you, today is the day to make some changes. I don't preach just to preach. Now, I love preaching. I can preach and teach the Bible every day, make me happy. If you guys want to come, I'll come. But I preach to make a difference. I preach to reach somebody. I preach to touch someone's heart. I preach to see somebody change their life, turn it around, and get back to God. Thank God I've got a message like this. Thank God I've got a father like this. Thank God there's a way to change, and you can change today. Your only way to victory is through repentance. Christian or lost, whatever your condition today, the only way to change is through repentance. You come to yourself, you realize what a fool you've been, and you come to God, ask for forgiveness, and change the way you're walking. Change the direction you're going. If you're here and not saved, I invite you to come to Christ and be saved. If you're here as a Christian and God's spoken to your heart, then come on down here, get on your knees, talk to the Lord about it. Let's stand and sing number 249.
I mean, with the armies from heaven. All his saints are coming with him. You know, I wish I had a horse. I don't have one right now, but I'm going to have one then. We're all following the Lord in white horses. Man, let me tell you, he's not coming to hug and love the people. The Bible says he's coming to make war. He's coming to smite the nations. So many people are thinking, well, God is just love. No, he's love, but he's also a righteous judge. And the Bible speaks quite a bit about the Lord of hosts. He's the God of the armies. He's the God of wrath. He's coming in the wrath of God, and he's going to come in and shed much blood. But that's who's coming. But you know, looking at it from another point of view, I think this is very important. This was also something that was a mystery, and I will show it to you in just a second. He says, lift up your heads, all you gates, and be ye lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. You know, first of all, when you say head, and you say gates. Now, I know gates don't have heads, but when I see a head, then I'm assuming that the gate must be a body, must be a person, must be somebody, must be the heart. You have to open it up. And the Lord of glory shall come in. He will dwell in you. Now, go now to my last text, be on Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and I'll be through. Colossians chapter 1, on verse 26, he says, even the mystery which has been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. Lift up your head. Amen. Lift up those gates. Open up that door. There's obstacles. And those obstacles, you have to take care of them. You have to lift up the gates. You're the one that's going to have to open that door. The Bible says in Revelation 3:20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in and sup with him. If any man will open the door. In other words, God could bust that door open. He could make those hinges just disappear. He could just bust right in, but he's not going to do it. It's up to you to open the door. It's up to you to open your heart. Christ is willing to come in. He stands at the door. He's not too far away. Amen. The verdict is very clear. You're guilty. If you're trying to get to heaven by your good works, you're guilty. There's no way you can do it. If at any time nobody had ever been able to answer you, what must I do to be saved? How good do I have to be? You got it now in Psalm 24. You got to have a pure heart. You got to have a clean mind. In other words, you can't do evil. You can't think evil. You can't be vain. And you can't be deceitful. And we're all those things. The only one who performed all of that, who did all of that, was Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the only one. He's the God of glory. But now he wants to come in. You know, and the thing is that the Bible, just like that lady that I was talking to, and I told her over and over, today is the day of salvation. God never says, wait till tomorrow. There's no such thing as tomorrow. He even said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, because you don't know what tomorrow might bring. He says, today is the accepted time. You begin to just think on this, and the next thing you know, the devil comes in and he snatches away the word. That's why it's so important. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Amen. Call upon him while he is near. Amen. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's turn now to song number 253. We're going to finish. 253.